forever.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. It is a podcast all about scary stories, urban legends, spooky things you tell us about that happened to you. And it's a comedy podcast from two fearful comedians. So it's less like an actual night in a haunted house. And it's more like you're in an Airbnb and the Airbnb host has stayed too long explaining to you how all the things in the house work that you already know how to use. Like, if you want to get the food in the fridge, you have to open it and then take your food and then you close it again.
And you're like, yeah, no, totally. We're so conked. We're not even going to eat. We're going to go to bed right now.
The toaster is for bread.
Oh, it's like, okay. You know, we're not. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Anna, how is your week going?
It's going absolutely good. I feel electrified. I feel energized. I wake up at 2 a.m. and go for a 100-mile run.
Good, good.
Without even leaving the bed.
That's great.
No, everything feels sort of crazy and bad. Yeah. And it's a violent, racist country that we are in.
Hoo boy.
And I'm affected by it. It's affecting me.
Yeah, what a strange time. What a strange time to, well, that's the vaguest, stupidest thing I could possibly say. I was going to say, what a bizarre time to try to find things to laugh and cheer up about.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that can seem like a distraction that is maybe not helping things, but we all need a little bit of time to recharge, so maybe you can spend the next silly 30 minutes focusing on our dumb podcast.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or you could split focus with something else, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Please do. We'd love it. We're great for busy work. If you got to stamp some letters or, I don't know, bake a pie, we're great for that.
Or stamp a pie.
I was about to say change a pie.
If you need to change it.
Oh, God, I've got to change my pie.
It's a good pie, really. It's just, you know, sometimes it gets a little hot under the collar. That's all.
I've got it. I put the wrong filling and I got to switch the fillings in my pie.
You gotta.
Anna, it's a Monday.
It is a Monday, actually.
And on Mondays, we read from Alvin Schwartz and Stephen Gammell's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark series.
That's what we are. That's what we do.
And as we have mentioned in previous episodes, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of these stories, and there are some with some questionable words or themes in them, and we have reached that precipice, Anna.
It feels exciting. I hope you listening are also as electrified by it as I am.
We are two white cis people, and so we are going to make mistakes, but we will try harder.
Yeah.
Okay, so Anna, I've reached a story that I actually love very much, and we'll talk about the problematic thing afterwards. There's a word that I'm omitting from here just because it's not a great word to use in 2021, and probably never was a really great word to use, but it was used very much regarding horror, spooky sort of things in the past.
Yes.
But Anna, this story is called The Drum.
Mm-hmm.
Once there were two children. Dolores was 7 and Sandra was 5. They lived in a small house in the country with their mother and baby brother, Arthur. Their father was a seaman and was away on a long voyage. One day, Dolores and Sandra were running across a field near their house when they met a girl playing a drum. Her family was camping in the field for a few days. As the girl played, a little mechanical man and woman came out of the drum and danced. Dolores and Sandra had never seen such a drum, and they begged the girl to give it to them. She looked at them and laughed. "I will give it to you," she said, "but only if you are really bad. Come back tomorrow and tell me how bad you were, and I will see." As soon as the two sisters got home, they started shouting, which was against the rules in their house. Then they wrote all over the walls with their crayons. At supper, they spilled their food, and when it was time for bed, they wouldn't go. They did everything they could think of to upset their mother. They were really bad. Ugh. Early the next morning, they hurried off to find the girl. "We were really bad yesterday," they told her, "so please give us the drum." But when they told her what they had done, the girl laughed. "Oh, you must be much worse than that if I'm to give you the drum," she said. As soon as Dolores and Sandra got home, they pulled up all the flowers in the garden. They let the pig out and chased it away. They tore their clothes. They sloshed in the mud. They were a lot worse than the day before. "If you do not stop," their mother said, "I will go away and take Arthur with me, and you will get a new mother with glass eyes and a wooden tail." That scared Dolores and Sandra. They loved their mother, and they loved Arthur. They could not imagine being without them, and they began to cry. "I don't want to leave you," their mother said, "but unless you change your behavior, I will have to leave you." "We'll be good," the girls promised, yet they did not really believe that their mother would go away. "She's just trying to scare us," Dolores said later. "We'll get the drum tomorrow," said Sandra. "Then we'll be good again." Early the next morning, they rushed off to find the girl. When they found her, she was playing the drum again, and the little man and woman were dancing. They told the girl how bad they'd been the day before. "That must be bad enough to get the drum," they said. "Oh, no," said the girl. "You must be much worse than that." "But we promised our mother to be good from now on," said Sandra and Dolores. "If you really want the drum," said the girl, "you must be much worse." "It's only for one more day," Dolores told Sandra. "Then we will have the drum." "I hope you're right," Sandra said. As soon as they got home, they beat the dog with a stick. They broke the dishes. They tore their clothes to pieces. They spanked their baby brother, Arthur. Their mother began to cry. "You are not keeping your promise," she said. "We will be good," said Dolores. "We promise," said Sandra. "I can't wait much longer," said their mother. "Please try." Early the next morning, before their mother was awake, Dolores and Sandra ran to see the girl. They told her all about the bad things they had done the day before. "We were horrid," said Sandra. "We were worse than we have ever been," said Dolores. "Can we have the drum now, please?" "No," said the girl. "I never meant to give it to you. It was just a game we were playing. I thought you knew that." Dolores and Sandra began to cry. They rushed home as quickly as they could, but their mother and Arthur were gone. They're out shopping," said Dolores. "They'll be back soon." But they were still not back when the time for lunch came. Dolores and Sandra felt lonely and scared. They wandered through the fields the rest of the day. "Maybe they will be home when we get back," said Dolores. When they got home, they saw through the window that the lamps were lit and there was a fire in the fireplace. But they did not see their mother or Arthur. Instead, there was their new mother, her glass eyes glistening, her wooden tail thumping on the floor. That could happen. Everybody, do not be mean to your mom, and do not spank your baby brother, and do not hit your dog with a stick.
Andrew, I have to say, I had filed this story away in my head as like, it's not that scary. Or I got it mixed up with the one where they're running. It's like they hear the drum beating in the woods and then they get hit by ghost arrows.
Yeah.
Which is very scary. But like reading it, I was like, that's not scary. And then I feel profoundly scared by this story.
This story, to read it myself, I even get this like panicky emotional feeling. As a kid hearing this story, it was so scary because their mom is like, why are you not being yourself? Like, why are you being so mean? Like, please. The fact that the mom was like, I'm not in control of this. If you're bad, I got to go away and take your baby brother with me. Like, that scared me so much.
That kind of consequence feels wild.
I know. It's a mean, mean story. Like, that's what's really wild about it.
Yeah, it is deeply mean. And I have to say, like, these girls seem bad.
Yes.
It's like, I can't imagine seeing something amazing, like a drum with little figures that come out and dance. That sounds very expensive. That sounds like it would be in the front of FAO Schwartz. There's no way you're getting this.
No.
I wouldn't be like, give me that. I'd be like, that's cool. Can I watch you play it?
That's like, true. They're very possessive, Dolores and Sandra, which, by the way, unhinged names for children.
wild. Also, a wild name for a baby. Arthur? No.
I do love the name Arthur for a baby because it's like, oh, you're a little man. Like, it just makes me laugh.
It is kind of nice. I'm actually going all the way around on it. I think everyone should name their babies Arthur. But, man, there's a lot going on in the story. Mm-hmm. We have a very classic Alvin Schwartz intro line. Could you read it one more time?
The opening line, quite simply, once there were two children.
The end.
The end.
That's the whole story.
That's all you need. I had a moment where I thought, does this story pass the Bechdel test?
It does.
But I think maybe Arthur messes that up. No, but they're not talking about Arthur much.
They're talking about the drum. It's two girls.
That's what they want. Yeah, two girls talking about
the drum. The girls have names. Yeah.
Yeah. That is very interesting. And that's kind of a rarity for this series.
Yeah. Although I do think that the drum is a boy. So that messes it up.
Yeah. Okay. So Anna, what is scary to you about this story? What is scary about this story to you?
It's scary, like you said, the idea of this kind of consequence happening to a child. It kind of reminds me of The Others, where it's like, your father's away and he'll be home soon.
Yep.
Just me and you, two awful children. It scares me, the idea of children being mean when they don't want to, but then still being mean. Beating a dog is scary.
Very scary. Hate that.
I have to tell myself that these things don't happen because I don't have the emotional scaffolding to even go on with my day if I think about that does happen. So it simply doesn't. And what else? God, there's a lot. It's scary. The replacement mother is a nightmare.
Very scary. Because initially in my head, what I first thought was like one glass eye, which I'm like, people have glass eyes. That's not so scary. It's the wooden tail for me is very scary because what is even going on here?
It's a long tail.
Yeah.
And she's thumping it. My guess is that she's sort of pleased as punch making dinner and it's just like a happy thing.
Right. The tail, like it's not the presence of a wooden tail implies that this mother had a previous tail that was severed and this is some sort of prosthetic.
Oh, interesting. I was very much like, she's like a nightmare toy thing.
Oh, Anna, that's really smart. I didn't even think of that. That's even scarier thematically.
Yeah, I thought she was some sort of like something come to life.
They wanted a toy and they got one, but she's life-size and scary.
Oof.
Oh.
What is the origin of this story?
Here are some dramaturgical origins to this story. So there's a very common trope from just about every country about children in the woods coming across an entity. Usually it's the devil in the form of a person who has a thing that they want very badly and they have to do bad stuff to get it. This is very common in the American Southeast. But also these legends exist like in virtually every country. And typically though, the devil like keeps their promise, but it has a twist to it.
Yeah.
This little girl is completely going back on it. I mean, what's scary about this to me is like this girl is just playing a game.
She's worse than the devil.
Right. So here's the tricky thing. This story uses a term to describe like displaced Romani people who have been like very significantly maligned in just about every scary movie and scary story as not only being like scary, but untrustworthy.
Yes. And like outside the town and like not part of us.
Right. Right. And this character kind of typifies that stereotype, which is very harmful and still exists to this day. So that's why we didn't say it, because it's just not necessary. It doesn't really add a lot to the story. And, you know, things change, we learn, and this is probably not a word that should be used to tell this story anymore.
Yeah, agree. We fixed it.
And we fixed it. And now we've undone centuries of mistreatment and malignment.
We did it.
We did it. Me and Anna.
Time for a book tour.
But that is a really good point, Anna, that this, it at once makes this character worse than the devil, but also like a complete chaos agent who subscribes to no rules.
Yeah.
You know? And that, to hear a story like that, that would be very frightening to a child, to think that there is someone out there who is just a normal person who is capable of leading you into doing bad behavior. But it's Dolores and Sandra's own fault.
It is. The idea is like, oh, they were tricked, but like, you still shouldn't do bad things in order to get something. Exactly. Like the twist at the end, it is interesting, like putting it with the like devil in the woods and there's a trade-off. Like, it doesn't actually make a difference if the devil gives you what you want or not. You still did bad things in order to get something. And the twist that they didn't even get it at the end isn't necessary. Like, it could have been, not to give notes, but like, they could have gotten the drum and then gone home and seen the weird mom. Mm-hmm. That's almost a little scarier.
That is very true. Oh, that is scary too. I mean, either way, it works. It to me, the added element of they didn't even get the drum is like nihilistic.
Yes. It's like, it's very much.
We go from Twilight Zone to like, oh, this is just a mean story about to scare kids into being good.
And you know what? It's a little bit like Darren Aronofsky.
Hey, thank you very much. Someone had to say it.
Behave. Stop being weird. Stop being mean.
I will also say probably an element of what scared this, probably an element of what was scary about this to me, was that when I was very little, I remember if my brothers or I were like misbehaving or being mean or had, you know, my mom would say like, hey, you're really like hurting my feelings. This is like, this doesn't make me feel good. And then when we'd be like, well, but we love you. And she's like, well, sometimes it's best to show that you like, you can say that you love me, but if you're doing things that make me feel hurt, then I don't feel very loved. And that was a thing that devastated me as a kid. And I do think that is a very important thing to teach kids, though.
What an unbelievable, like, that's so open.
It was very open and it was very effective, I have to say.
Oh my God, of course. You are a very considerate person. You guys can't see this because it's a podcast, but Andrew is one of the most considerate people I've ever met.
That's very generous. And thank you. I give all credit to Joe Beth Farmer for any consideration I have for other people's feelings. Because yeah, that was a thing where like, I remember that would be so much more impactful to me than even getting punished. I'd be like, oh God, like I don't want to make my mom feel bad.
God, the worst punishment of all.
I know. That's largely the Irish Catholic experience. And as I've been told by many friends, the Jewish American experience as well.
Oh, yeah. Guilt and shame are just two. You know the video that pops up on Instagram of the two twin or the two brothers who like tap dance and do the splits and like do the splits falling down the stairs?
Yeah.
It's like that's guilt and shame in my mind at all times. They're just doing a full dance.
To me, guilt and shame are like Laverne and Shirley. And it's like, we're going to do it. And they together make me feel bad. Give us any good thing, we'll make you feel weird about it. Give us any rule, we'll break it. That's it.
You will never have successful sex.
Never doing never. It our way.
The Nicholas Brothers. They're called the Nicholas Brothers.
Wow. So this story. Oh, but Anna, can we talk about this illustration?
Yes, please.
I've sent you the picture in the chat below.
Okay.
I think this might be my favorite Alvin. I think this might be my favorite Stephen Gamel illustration.
Oh, it's scary ass. Oh, there's people in the trees and stuff.
Isn't that scary? So Anna, could you describe this illustration?
Oh my God, there's so much going on. Okay. Yeah. It's a horizontal, it's a landscape. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it spans two pages, but I could be wrong.
It does, you're correct.
Oh wow. Okay, so on the right side, you see two little girls holding hands, walking away from us. And they're in this very scraggly, no leaf woods. A lot of Stephen Gamel mist. Like the trees are very steaming, Stephen Gamel rooty.
Roots galore, yeah.
A lot of clouds and mist, and like it's just scary. And all these trees are scary. If you saw any of these trees in real life, it would ruin your day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They're walking, and you can see these little, like, I guess they half look like birds, But they look like little devils with little tails.
They've got horns. They look like horns, they could be tails. Owls, but yeah, they are certainly devils.
Yeah, and he keeps it real up in the air whether it's owls or what, but owls aren't mentioned, and there's one that's standing on the ground.
Yeah.
And they little devils, and one's got a very curly tail that's a tail. They're sitting up in the tree branches, which is spooky ass.
And you know what this illustration made, like as a kid, what I thought was going on here?
What?
Was that like the devil had besieged this whole town and was trying to like make these girls bad. Like,
oh my God.
I thought the illustration was saying that like these are all little demons watching to be like, can we make these girls bad? You know? And that terrified me, because I will also say, when I was a little kid first reading these books, my family had just moved to New Hampshire in the dead of winter.
Oh.
And it kind of looked like this.
Oh my God. I bet it does. Yeah. We've talked about how the American Scary Story sort of looks like the Northeast, because that's what the settlers were experiencing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I buy that. Man, it is very much like Castle Rock. Where it's
that's a really good point.
The devil is taking over, or it's trying to make you bad.
I really am surprised that they did not go in the direction of making the Scary Stories books a series rather than a movie, you know, like a TV series. I feel like that would have been so successful.
I think if it had come out, like if the development process had been moved a little bit forward, they would have. It just, everything's a series now.
Anna, who would we cast in this?
Great question. I do think Florence Pugh is involved.
Oh, hugely. Florence Pugh is definitely Dolores.
Oh, yeah. I do picture adults playing children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impactful. Yeah. I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge is the drum girl, maybe.
That is so good, Anna. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Who's Sandra?
I'm going to say Kelly Marie Tran.
Oh, that's good.
Who was in The Last Jedi and who's just incredible. And also very, you just get a sense that she, like of the two, Sandra is the one who's like, are you sure this is a good idea? And I feel like she'd be great at that.
Yeah, I think so too. I also think you like to see her. There's just something about that performer that you just like seeing her on a hero's journey.
I do love seeing her on a hero's journey. Who's the good mother?
Oh, I was picturing, what's her name? This British actress. It was from a show called Doctor Something. Dr. Foster. It's this actress who looks a bit like Natalie Walker in 20 years. Oh, Suzanne Jones.
Okay, Suzanne Jones, that's exciting.
She's in Gentleman Jack. I was picturing her, but I could also see Natalie Walker playing this part again. A favorite, a casting favorite.
We do love to cast Natalie Walker in A Scary Story. And then what about Baby Arthur?
Oh my God. I feel like it should be a model.
Oh, that's good.
It might be
Iman.
I think it's Iman. I think Baby Arthur is played by Iman. Baby Arthur is like a statuesque beauty, I think.
Yes, right. Because if you were to harm Iman, then you get whatever you deserve. You know what I mean?
You can't be doing this. Not during quarantine.
Yeah, you're going to get what's coming to you. And then I have a very immediate thought for who should play the mother with the wooden tail.
Please.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh my God. That's like an empathetic version where I'm like, oh, she's excited to have kids.
I just watched her in the new David Copperfield directed by Iannucci, and she plays a great, like, scary marm.
That rocks. I feel like she made it in that.
Yeah. Like her in like a clasped hat that goes around her head, like just really perfect. A kerchief.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, offer only. It's Gwendolyn Christie.
It's Gwendolyn Christie for sure. This one, I'm imagining this feels like an A24 horror movie that would be great.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Yeah, the reveal of a wooden mother at the end of the movie, that feels right on.
I also feel like the man and the woman dancing in the drum should be Gloria Estefan and her husband.
That's good. And they're dancing in their restaurant bongos.
There we go. The drum. Oh, it's a bongo drum.
Andrew, it all works.
Wow. This, we need a Pulitzer for this podcast.
We do. We do. And we have been sponsored by bongos. Do you like food? Well, it's bongos, baby.
Oh, that would be a great ad. Bongos,
I think so too. I don't know that they're still in business, but I did eat there once.
I do feel sad whenever a celebrity restaurant closes.
It's too much. Let me see. I have to just check for our listeners.
I was thinking, this is a thing that I'm just thinking now. If Amy Adams had a restaurant, it could be called Amy Haddams, and it's just Amy Adams leftovers that are served.
Oh my God.
Like, she already had it. Amy Haddams already, but you can have the rest of her meatloaf if you want.
She exclusively eats meatloaf.
Yeah.
It seems like the name has been changed to Estefan Kitchen.
Oh, that's good and clear. That's good and clear. Yeah.
That's good.
Anna, thank you for letting me share this scary story today that it clearly hit us both on an emotional level.
It really did. I think, like, yeah, if you have any sort of latent guilt, if you've got the mother wound, this story's for you. Yes. I've hurt my mother. If that's sort of like your guiding psychological trauma, please come one, come all. Thank you so much for reading it. It's like a good spooky ass little story.
My pleasure. And speaking of good spooky ass, no, that's a horrible thing to say.
No, we're saying it's keeping it in.
Oh God.
It's keeping it in.
Hannah, did anything spooky happen to you this weekend or this week? What day is it? Who knows?
Andrew, I haven't left the house. What spooky that's could true. Happen?
Yeah, this has become a challenge during quarantine about what spooky thing happened to us.
I think I dreamt that I ran for mayor of Toronto against Rob Ford and lost.
Whoa.
But then was relieved. Like, I accidentally put my hat in the ring for mayor of Toronto.
That's spooky.
Yeah. But the spooky thing is that I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. This is getting.
And no one is, or some people, whatever. You know what I'm saying. For whatever reason this week, I mean, I know there's lots of reasons, it's hitting me so hard.
Right.
I gotta go touch store.
Because we're coming up on a year. Isn't this wild?
It's too much.
It's too much. It's too long. We hope that you're able to get vaccinated, everybody. Maybe especially if you're a frontline worker, if you're someone who works in healthcare, we hope you're getting your vaccines in a timely, orderly fashion. Which makes me think of my spooky thing that happened to me this week, Anna.
Oh, yes, Andrew, did something spooky happen to you? Tell us.
So here's the situation I find myself in. I'm an accident-prone person. A lot of horrible things that I have wrought on myself, spilling boiling soup on myself, cutting my mm-hmm. finger while I'm chopping mm-hmm. onions, blah, blah, blah. The amount of things that I have had to not do because I'm like, I can't even risk getting hurt because I don't want to fill up a hospital and I don't want to go to any place that would require that.
Right.
There've been so many times and I'm like, maybe I'll like make some caramelized onions. And I'm like, do you trust yourself to not cut your thumb off? And frankly, I don't. So it's been a lot of delivery lately. That's my spooky thing. Too much sodium.
Oh, just the sodium. It's the new smoking.
It's the new smoking. Also, my two favorite things are the worst things in the world for you, sitting and sodium. And that's both are going to kill me. But I love both of them so much.
And you really got to give up sitting on sodium.
You cannot take my salt chair away from me. You can pry it from my cold, dead thighs.
I will. Wow. Well, we got there. Thank you all for listening. Please rate and review us 5 stars on
if you can't,
then don't. on the old iTunes or wherever. And keep being good. Send us your scary stories at scarystorypod@gmail.com. We'll read them on the show.
Yeah.
We're on social media. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, scary story_pod. Oh no, what is this again? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Scary Story_Pod.
Absolutely.
You ever forget sometimes your handles?
You ever just not know a single fact ever because your brain is soup and you love soup?
Everybody loves soup. And you know what everybody else also loves?
Get out.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @ForeverDogTeam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.